Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what do you say? This is Bobby Blitz from Overkill. That's right. And welcome to the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. This has been going on with two friends, Jeff and Tommy. You know it, and I know it. It's all about sports. It's all about the hard rock. It's all about the metal. It's all about Jeff's bass playing. It's all about Jeff being a Jets fan. Now, let me tell you something. The only green in New Jersey that's worth a damn is my green. That's Overkill. It's like a mixed marriage between you and Tommy, a Jets fan and a Giants fan. Every year, the Jets get everybody pumped up, and then halfway through the fucking season, they rip the heart of their fans out. So expect more of the same in 2022-23. But the real purpose of this message is that it's Jeff's birthday. He's turning 56. So he's going to play his bass on his 56th birthday. It must be the 10th of fucking July. And I'm here to wish you a happy birthday. I got this from your buddy Tommy, who you've known for all these decades. And I just want to say, bro, enjoy your day. Keep the sports talk going. Keep playing that bass. Keep listening to that Overkill. And good luck with those fucking Jets. You're going to need it. My name is Bobby Blitz, and I approve this fucking message.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to a live edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from Higher Top Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful city Monroe, New Jersey. We are your 3-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to our show for July the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2022. And it's a beautiful, hot summer day out there. Hope you guys have had a great week. We had a great show last week. Lots of people tuned in and had some fun. That was one of the things I had a lot of fun with, was getting Bobby Blitz to do a little message to my man, Jeff. Got to spend a little time with Jeff over the weekend. We had a little barbecue at his house to celebrate his birthday. And we're going to get him on right in the middle of his vacation. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. Plenty to get to. It's one of those weeks where some weeks there's nothing to talk about, folks. And then there's others where there's just too much going on. And this is a week where we got too much going on. But listen, we'll jam it all in. We'll have a little fun. And we'll help. We'll have a good time for a couple hours on our 548th episode. Jesus, 548 episodes of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Cruising up 2 weeks. 2 weeks to our big 550th episode. It's also our anniversary. We'll be celebrating 8 years on the air. And, of course, we'll be doing our very own training camp show. The NFL training camps kick off that week. So we'll be doing our annual, it's the eighth time or ninth time we've done it. Kick back and relax. We also got a couple big guests so far agreeing to appear. B. Brian Blair, the 1980s, 90s wrestler. And, of course, our good friend Mark Scott, formerly of Trickster, I believe, and he of the American Premium Vodka will be joining Jeff and I that night. I'm working on some other guests, so keep your shirts on. Let's have a little fun, but let's kick the show off. And there's no other way to do it unless I get my buddy and my partner in crime. What's going on with this? What's going on over here? Mr. Jeff Towinski involved. So let's bring on the Duke of Doubt, the man who puts special in special, the Pope himself, the birthday boy, and the sexiest man on his side of the screen, Mr. Jeff Towinski. What's up, pal?
Not much, man. That's all over with. We have other fish to fry this week.
Well, Jeff, listen, we have to kick the show off. I got a couple questions for you. First of all, Jeff, how was your week?
It was better than last week, the following week, or previous week, because I wasn't at work. So
that's all. It's a good week. You were home with your wife. You guys enjoying your birthday week, I'm assuming?
Yes. Well, listen, anything is better than going to work, and hanging out with her is always a good thing. So
absolutely. Jeff, how was your birthday? Did you enjoy yourself? You had a few days of celebrating on the year. We did a little something. I know you were in the city on Saturday, a little barbecue in the backyard on Sunday. It was a very fruitful and busy birthday.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun, man. This was a good week.
Okay, and I know you have a special announcement. Will you be doing the special announcement now? Are you holding on to that special announcement? How are we doing the special announcement, Jeff?
The special announcement is going to happen very soon. I've been given the go-ahead that I could announce this.
Okay, so...
it's a very important announcement. It's just the timing's not there yet. What's up, Mike? How are you?
All right, well, hold off. You can interject that announcement if you like. And again, guys,
I want to do the opening of the show and everything. And then once we settle down, we'll hit the announcement.
Okay. Right now, folks, we're kicking in. This is our 548th episode of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, cruising in to 550. 2 weeks from now, we'll be celebrating right here on the air, and it's our eighth anniversary, 550 episodes. B. Brian Blair, Mark Scott from Trickster, many other guests, I hope. We'll have some people checking in to say congratulations to us because we've managed. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, Jeff. We've done 550 episodes of the show.
It's a great thing, man. It's not a good thing. It's a great thing.
Well, let's hope so. We're going to have some fun. I'm working on some videos. I'm working on some other guests. So, again, thank you. And we got plenty to talk about tonight. I'll run down real quick. We're going to talk about Brittany Griner running with the Bulls, a little bit of social justice stuff I got in my back pocket. We'll talk about the best reentry points for one Sean Payton. Where will he drop into coach again? We'll talk about the return of Pantera. That's right, folks. Pantera's back.
And that's my opening right there.
You're throwing it right in there now?
That's where I'm going to throw it in.
Good. Jump right in.
Dude, first of all, what's going on with this? How come I look like I'm taking up the whole screen? I got a big head.
How's that? Better? Much better?
I still have a bigger head than you.
Well, you got a lot more brain up there. How's that?
I doubt that. Anyway.
Good. Jeff, special announcement.
Giving me okay to say this now.
Hold on. I got a special banner. Hold on. Okay.
Due to the announcement that Pantera will be reforming and touring.
Uh-oh, I got a feeling I know what's coming now.
In the year 2023.
Correct.
It has been announced today.
Go ahead.
That Dimebag NYC will be performing a special show in September at Juicy Lucy with several other high-profile Staten Island bands, what will be known as Metal Fest 2022.
Nice.
The first Dimebag NYC show in almost 3 years.
Nice.
So keep that in mind. More details to follow. I'm not at liberty to announce the other bands.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe to do it the right way when you're ready. Maybe get Richie Holmes on, and you'll have Richie come on the show. We'll do a little announcement. We'll have a little fun with it, and we can go ahead and put that out there to everybody. But that's big news for Jeff. I guess this is a one-off in tribute to the band getting back together, so to speak. Not that they really are.
Well, see, that's the thing. It has nothing at all really to do with getting the band back together. Nobody in the band is up for this band getting back together.
Okay.
And we all think that it's bullshit.
Okay.
That Pantera is actually doing this. That there's a lot of things going on. I hear now that Zakk Wylde will not participate in this.
Now, when you say that, because I've heard a few people say he should be the guy. I heard some other names today, too. But my question is that from Zakk Wylde saying he will not participate or he will not be the guy?
I heard rumor that he was not participating.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, I had heard it was, what's the drummer from Anthrax, Charlie Benanti.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, and then I get in Bleed and Blabbermouth, they said Zakk Wylde and Charlie Benanti would be the most likely people to be in this band. But that was strictly from Blabbermouth.
I'm hoping that this does not happen. This is a money grab by Phil and Rex Brown and my guys.
Okay.
Rex Brown just released his signature bass through Gibson, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a tour next year.
Yeah.
Charlie Benanti can't get the same feel that Vinnie Paul can. Zakk Wylde is one of the most overrated guitar players in my eyes. I can't see how anybody would want to even have him say, hey, go play these Dimebag riffs. Phil can't sing anymore. And Rex Brown thought he was a fucking cowboy.
Yes.
Went out and released some country western music. It fell flat on its face. And, now here he is. He's back again. And
if you don't mind, I'm going to put this up on the screen for you, Jeff, because this is the rumor in... Hold on. Let's get it up on the screen for you.
Okay. Yeah, I saw this.
Okay. I mean, this is the rumor. This is in a Blabbermouth. Rumor 2023 lineup to include Charlie Benanti and Zakk Wylde. And, you know, this is a pretty reputable site for music, metal music.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to get back to me on the... I should have kept it, but Zakk Wylde is out.
Okay. I'm not doubting you. I only report what I see. This is not my favorite band of all time. So but I do follow it. I do like some of the music, and I know it's important to you. So I like to make it important to the show. So
important to me about it is that, you know, this is something that these guys could have tried a little bit harder to do when it was only time that was missing. And Vinnie Paul was standing in the way of this because of hard feelings between him and Rex at one time and him and Phil. And, you know, now the guy's gone, and now you run and you try to get this put together. And I just don't like the idea of it. I just don't think that it's a cool thing.
Listen, I would agree with you. You know, again, there are certain bands, certain play. You know, listen, we talked about it 100 times. Steve Harris is gone. There is no Iron Maiden. You know, there are certain guys that you can take out of a band and still continue. There are certain guys that need to be in there. And, you know, to me, without Dimebag, there is no Pantera. But certainly without either him or his brother, you can't do this and not do it right. Now, if you want to do a couple of, you know, four tribute shows, you know, kind of bring out a bunch of different guitar players and drummers and do a couple tribute shows, I'm all for that kind of stuff. I think that stuff's cool. But to go out and tour and circle the globe as Pantera, I myself could not buy into that. Now, I know Paul Gill put out a message this week. He wanted to go. He's got a chance to see Pantera. To me, not seeing Pantera.
It's not Pantera. And supposedly, a good friend of ours, Lou Toro, was commenting on a post that I made, and I guess he's just trying to sugarcoat for himself that they're not going out underneath the Pantera name. And I was like, what's the difference? The name doesn't matter. They're still going to go out and play the music Phil can't sing.
Yeah, I agree with all that. If they went out as the Red Brown Band and played Pantera songs on Phil Anselmo and you're calling yourself Pantera, that's a problem.
Listen, even if they were to turn around and say Pantera with Zakk Wylde and Charlie Benanti,
yeah.
Okay, however they're going to do it,
yeah.
People know what it's all about.
Sure.
Okay, and at this point in time, it just ain't cool. I mean, fucking Phil Anselmo don't even have his teeth. The guy don't have any fucking teeth. You know what I mean? Come on. You're going to come out. This is something that you should have locked yourself in a room with Vinnie Paul. You should have taken whatever bullshit Vinnie Paul was going to heap upon you. You should have went in there like a man, taken it. Either you shake hands when you walk out and you say that, you know, you're going to do what you can to bring the music back. Or you left everything in that room. And you turn around and you say, listen, any chances of that ever happening just died at the table. There's nothing that can happen. If he's ready to talk to me again, I'll be here to listen. But as of right now, it's not going to happen. And then however many years it takes. It's awfully strange how Pantera 20 years ago or 22 years ago, whatever it was at this point in time, was getting ready to play headlining shows. And I'm talking big headlining shows. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Rex Brown, I don't even know what he's doing right now, but I know at one point in time he was playing at Dingbats.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got Phil Anselmo, who's playing some of the smaller venues and larger clubs out there.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, these guys are going to get together and hit the road with this. I'm sorry. That's a money grab to me.
Well, Jim, I don't think anybody out there believes that it's not a money grab. I don't believe anybody feels that way. Excuse me. But I'll say this: you know, you're gonna get a lot of people who are gonna go to these shows, regardless. You know, there's a lot of people like yourself who won't, but there's gonna be a good amount of people out there that are gonna go see this show. Again, I would feel better if they did four or five shows, call them tributes to the band. I think that's okay. You know, you can call it a night with Pantera. You know, you can do whatever you want and do four or five tribute shows around the country with different guitar players jumping in. I think that's cool. I think celebrate the band is something that should be done. Like they should have already done the Eddie Van Halen one, which they haven't done yet. They had the one they did the Randy Rhoads one that used to travel across the country a couple times every couple of years. You know, but to go out on tour, I don't care where it is, with two members of the band, and to me, not the two most important members of the band, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
I just don't think that it should happen, man. I really don't think it should happen.
Again, that's fair. You're a true fan, and I get it. And you won't be wasting your money and spend on tickets to the show, and I get it. It could. I said it back when Vinny was still alive and there was rumors of it. I said Zakk Wylde to me would be the most guy, unless you were coming up with some guy I never heard of all the guys out there. I just thought that he kind of had that same ilk. I'm not saying he's the same guitar player that Dimebag was, but he was of that ilk. He was friends with the band. I thought it would have fit. It would have been a nice thing to do. It never got done. Let it rest.
He's not half the guitar player Dimebag is.
Okay, I'm not arguing that, but again, it's not always about the playing. Listen, he wasn't half the guitar player Randy Rhoads was, but he pulled that off. I mean, I'm not saying he was great at it. Zakk Wylde.
Zakk Wylde, no.
With the Ozzy stuff, I saw him live.
It was by the time they got to Zakk Wylde, Ozzy had already proven that Randy Rhoads was probably not going to be in the band up in that time. Up until that time.
Yeah.
That's why I played. Because he went through too many guitar players.
Again, I agree. I saw Ozzy with Zakk Wylde. They did a good job. It was a good show. It was nothing. He did a nice job with the music. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't, you know, again, I didn't go see him 100 times. I saw him once and I was pretty good with that. So I think, listen, the guy's a professional guitar player and it would have been okay. I just think it's a major money grab. And if you're going on tour, I can't imagine you selling out arenas doing this one. This has got to be a club tour. Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, Tom. That's exactly where they would go with this.
Oh, I agree.
That's exactly where they're going to go with this. First of all, Phil Anselmo is, hold on.
Nice. Right over the air. Right over the air. Everybody got that. Happy birthday.
You heard that, man? I'm glad you heard that.
Got that loud and clear.
Phil Anselmo is 56 years old, 55 years old. Okay?
Uh-huh.
It's been years since he's been able to sing. He can't sing.
Okay.
Okay. Second, yep. Rex Brown left Pantera, and it was like he fell off a cliff. That's when, by the time he landed again, he was landed on fucking club circuit. Okay?
Uh-huh.
He's just not doing what he was once able to do. All right? That being said, when you got those two guys, now you're going to throw in Zakk Wylde, who in my estimation, my eyes, is one of the most overrated guitar players in metal music today.
Okay.
Okay? They're going to be tuned down so low that you ain't going to be able to understand this fucking stuff. It's going to sound like sludge because they're going to have to adjust for Phil's vocals. And
yeah.
It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible.
Again, I can't imagine it's going to be good. Even if it's good, I don't know that it's still the band. I don't know how you pull it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, you can get four great musicians out there to play Rush stuff or three musicians to play Rush stuff. It doesn't mean that you want to see that, you know, as Rush. Again, call it what it is and run it out there. And when people want to go, you go. But again, unless they're going out with a couple other really big bands, I can't see this being an arena act. This is, to me, you know, Starland Ballroom. This is the Paramount Theater. You know, this is not going to – I can't see this being a big, huge arena tour.
It will be.
Yeah, I listen, but Jeff, you know what? If it is and they're able to sell the tickets, then you and I are in a minority, and then they've done something that people wanted because people paid for it.
People are going to want to go see it because they want to see how bad it's going to be.
But for whatever reason, if they fill up enough seats in a 20,000-seat arena to warrant a tour across the stage and Europe as an arena act, listen, God bless, then we're wrong. And people wanted to see it. So
Look up Live Pantera. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do. Look up Live Pantera from 2000.
Uh-huh.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that bad.
Okay. Yeah.
It is that bad.
Listen, I've heard Rex Brown's solo stuff, the stuff he's done after. Not great. I mean, you're right. Some old can't sing. So again, I don't know what
he's not going to be doing any singing. He's not going to be doing any lead. Maybe doing backups, Rex. But all the lead singing is going to fall on Phil.
No, I'm saying I heard Rex Brown's playing and the music he was playing. I'm not rushing to see him play. You know what I'm saying? Phil Anselmo can't sing, like you said, and I'm getting two guys who were never in the band. Again, it's basically a bad tribute band. So
if you want to call it that.
Yeah. So again, listen, if they sell it out or people go enough, people want to go, then it's a good thing. It's always nice to see bands out there playing and doing their thing. But, at the end of the day, this isn't something that should be, this is probably not the best use of people's time. You know, go out there and do something that's useful to these guys, and let's move forward and leave Pantera alone. It died in what, 2003?
2000.
Okay. Then, and that's where, because I think they formed Damage Plan in 2003, if I'm not mistaken. But thanks for tuning in to the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Jeff and Tom here. We'll be here till around 9 o'clock, 9:30. Give or take a few minutes. Depends on what we got going on as we look up at the Yankees. Rizzo takes one to the warning track. Judge retreats to first base. Yankees 62-25. We got a couple of games before the All-Star break. And I want to talk about the All-Star break and traditions in sports.
Isn't it late this year, the All-Star break? It
is very late. It's usually the first Tuesday of July. For some reason, it's going to be the 19th, I believe.
It's way past the halfway point.
Well, it's usually a game or two or maybe three. Right now, I would say Yankees are 62. That's 87. Plus tonight's 88, plus their three, it'd be 91. Yeah, so it's about 10 games over the halfway point of the season.
Yeah,
so Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. You know what, Jeff? It's, you know, let me get into it because it's a great segue you just made for me that, to take it to the next topic. I was going to go Brittany Griner, but let's go traditions. And, you know, there's been some stuff, a lot of outrage in Pittsburgh. The Steelers changing the stadium names. The All-Star game has, for a long time, maybe over 20 years, lost its luster. You know, used to be the All-Star game was something you wanted to watch because you got to see all these different plays that you didn't get to watch playing together with free agency, Jeff. You know, the traditions in sports have really died, and there aren't many left. And I'm curious, does it matter? Do you think it matters anymore, the traditions of the game, to most people?
No, of course not. Of course not. Once free agency came and you said, you know, like somebody would leave a team after 5 years or whatever it is, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever the case is, it kind of ruined it. And when you have guys that, you know, they're no longer considered journeymen and they're on their third, fourth, fifth teams over the course of their careers where they would also, they would have just been known as journeymen because they just never caught on any place or, you know, they weren't good enough to stay in one spot. Now it's like, you know, all right, you're over there in Cleveland, but it's over there and play with you in Cleveland. But, you know, then in 3 years, I'm going to go play over there with this guy, you know, unless, of course, Cleveland throws me a mountain of money and dismantles the team that'll never win again.
Yeah.
But I'll take, you know, half the money that they could pay everybody else, and I'll take it. And listen, you know what I feel as though? I like the idea in baseball of an All-Star game and everything leading up to the All-Star game. And I also feel as though what maybe they should want to bring an interest back into the All-Star game.
Go ahead.
You know what you should do?
What?
How about modeling the uniforms at the All-Star game after a certain year? So, like, this year, the All-Star game is going to be the 1927 All-Star game, played in 2022.
Got it.
What does that mean? That means that we're going to follow everything that happened in 1927. They're going to win. They're going to wear replica uniforms. You know, everybody, there's going to be no more pants down to the ankle. You're going to wear uniforms just the way that they wore them in 1927. We're going to have fanfare. We're going to have spectator costumes of who could, you know, wear a costume from a fan from 1927, something like that. Make it interactive. Make it, you know, a whole bunch of different things. I think that it's lost all its feel. It looks like it's a bunch of guys that go play softball now someplace.
I like it. I got to be honest with you, Jeff. I like it. I, you know, last year, you know, the baseball did the Field of Dreams game. You know, they had the White Sox and the Yankees out in Iowa playing on the, you know, and basically a farm field, and they were old-time uniforms. I thought that was great. I'm with you. I think it's a good, solid idea. You have to tweak it around. You know, how do you have guys who are on the Tampa Bay the Rays or the Mets, you know, who weren't around in 1927 in uniforms that, you know, from that era, but you can, you know, make the uniforms from that era or whatever. It could just be American League, National League, and an old-time style. I think that's a fun idea, but I think the traditions of today, because of the way things have changed by the sports themselves, you know, again, the Yankees are probably the only team. I think the Mets brought back old-timers day for this year, but, you know, for decades, it's only been the Yankees. You know, there's, you know, Nike symbols on the Yankee uniform. Most teams have some sort of advertisement on it. You know, the traditions of the game, you know, how soon before it's no longer called Yankee Stadium? I mean, what if the Yankees ever decided, let me sell out the naming rights for Yankee Stadium? Could you imagine what that would be?
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, just to touch something really quick that you said about Old Timers Day.
Yep.
I believe that only certain teams should possibly even be allowed to have Old Timers Day.
The only two have, as of right now, only two teams. The Yankees every year, and this is the first year for the Mets in decades.
Well, how about this? How about if we would have Old Timers Day for the Yankees, Old Timers Day for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Old Timers Day for the Cincinnati Reds.
You could.
Detroit Tigers.
You could.
I'm just saying, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, some of the original teams that played.
Sure.
I don't believe that the Tampa Bay Devil Rays or the Florida Marlins should end up having a Old time as day.
I would agree.
Or the Seattle Mariners. I mean, the Seattle Mariners are there for a while, but
40 years.
You know, they're more than that. They
40,
got to be close to
78. So 44, 46, something like that. Yeah, 78.
They don't have enough history at this point in time to really, let that happen. You know, the old time mistake, but some of these other teams do that. They could acknowledge guys that played in the early 1900s that played over 100 years ago. But, for whatever reason, they don't.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that do happen in sports do make you shake your head and shrug. Like, you know, I know that the Yankees, I believe not too long ago, they played a doubleheader, right?
Yep. Yeah, I played a few this year, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of baseball, but a doubleheader for the price of today's game, did one ticket get you two games?
I think some of them were basically you can go in for two games for one. They don't schedule doubleheaders anymore like they used to. Now it's basically if there's a rainout or if there's a reason why the game was canceled, sometimes they reschedule it. If there's no time to reschedule, they may play the next day. They could sometimes turning it into a two admission game where they start one at 1 and one at 7, so they clear the building and bring new fans in. I believe there's been a couple this year of games where it was one admission, but they no longer schedule on the schedules anymore. There's no more scheduled doubleheaders.
That's really a shame because there should be a certain amount on the bill, and not for nothing. Probably because of the money the players are making.
No, the owners, they want to do our two admissions. You schedule doubleheaders, then you only get one admission for the day you lose. So that's what the owners don't want. Of course, it's the players' money, Jeff. Don't get me wrong, in the sense that to pay the guys, these guys want to collect every dollar they can. That's why.
Well, I understand that point, but like you said, they're the one paying them. But how about this? You get a guy that you're paying $25 million to, and he takes off like every eighth or ninth day, he gets a break.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're expecting him to play two games in one day, and he's going to be like, listen, I'm not playing two games in one day. So I'm just not doing it.
And that's pussification of today's game. Yeah.
I'm not doing it again.
It's the pussification of sports.
Yeah.
It's the pussification of sports. And, Jeff, it happens all over. And, listen, it's sports' fault. It's taking every dollar. Friday night, last Friday night, the Yankee game was not available unless you had Amazon Prime. You have to watch, otherwise you could not watch last Friday night's Yankee game. There's a big thing in buzz in, and to me, I don't understand the buzz, but it's in Pittsburgh, they're screaming because they're changing the name of Heinz Field. Well, where was the outrage when they changed it from Three River Stadium?
That was a completely different stadium, I believe.
Well, but again, still, at the end of the day, you already were corporate. What's the difference? I get that you liked Heinz Field because you've had it for 20 years, but where was the name of the original? Listen, Yankee Stadium has changed three times. It's still Yankee Stadium.
I understand that, but didn't the Yankees pay for their own stadium?
Yes, and so did Pittsburgh. They paid for it. The naming rights is just, hey, we'll charge you X amount of dollars a year for X amount of years to put your name on the side. Heinz didn't help build the stadium.
But they never played in a stadium, to the best of my knowledge, Pirate Stadium. It was either Three Rivers or I don't know where to.
I was talking about the Steelers, but yeah, I mean, I understand it. I'm saying is everybody's outraged in Pittsburgh over it's no longer Heinz Field. Heinz is a company that sells ketchup and condiment products. What's the big deal at this point? Yeah, now Giant Stadium's no longer Giant Stadium. It's MetLife Stadium,
Because I think, first of all, Giant Stadium's not Giant Stadium. Giant Stadium lost the rights to Giant Stadium when they let the Jets come in.
Correct, 100%. But at that point, they were the MetLife,
Yeah, so it might as well be called MetLife. And as far as the Steelers go, and whoever else plays, the Pirates, whatever, playing that thing, if they never played in a stadium called, Pirate Stadium or whatever the case is, it's the thought now, I guess it hits these people that when you hear Heinz Field and you're like, okay, it's Heinz Field, Heinz Stadium, Heinz Field, whatever. And all of a sudden you realize that, wait a minute, if this is why it's called Heinz Field and not calling it Heinz Field, Now you don't know what's going to happen next. And it doesn't matter, because now say you fucking decide to draw $80 million, somehow you get it. You decide to name the field after yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you won, and then they'll be like, yeah, we'll take your money for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
That stadium is named after Tom Florio Stadium.
I get it. I get it, Jeff. But, you know, I mean, our tradition. I mean, look, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, Wrigley Field. I mean, do we really want, you know, the name changes for those stadiums? And now, you know, no longer Fenway Park. It's, you know, Chick-fil-A Stadium. I mean, come on. I mean, I understand that it's money, and but there's got to be ways. Put a sign on the outside. The traditions of the game have left us in most sports. I can't think of too many things. The Yankees with the no facial hair and no long hair, you know, that's a tradition. I hope it stays there. But, you know, there's not many of the other traditions. I mean, the uniforms change every other day. They come out, they're wearing, you know, gang colors. They're wearing camouflage. They're wearing, you know.
They do that. You know why they
do
that? Of course. That's just more money for them, of course, because you got to come up with somehow, some way to come up with God knows how many tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
To pay these contracts that you're paying these players.
I get it.
I hear you. I saw a uniform last week. I think it was camouflage colors. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, what the fuck team is this? What is this, a minor league team? And all of a sudden I read a little further. I actually read the caption under the picture. And I'm like, this is a major league team.
Yeah.
This is the uniform that they went out there with. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I got to run in the other room. I'm sorry.
Good.
It's early tonight. I got to take a quick squirt. I'll be right back.
Good. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. We're hanging out, killing some time here on a Thursday night. Glad you guys have joined us. We're going to talk a little bit more about traditions in sports and where that's taking us now in 2022. But it's a sad state. But anyway, guys, we got a lot more to talk about besides that. And, of course, we are 548 episodes into this thing we call Hard Rock and Sports, and two weeks away from our big eight-year anniversary show, our 550th show, and our NFL training camp show. So, listen, lots going on in the next few weeks. B. Brian Blair and Mark Scott will be joining us to start. Hopefully, we'll get some more people to join us, to join Jeff and I and have some fun together. But in the meantime, stick around. We got a lot to talk about tonight. The Yankees. In the middle of a little bit of a tough streak, still leading everybody with a 62-25 record, and getting ready to head into a three-game set with Boston this weekend at home, and then off to the All-Star game, which to me has lost its luster. I don't know if the Home Run Derby has replaced the All-Star game. I think the Home Run Derby is actually the bigger event now than the All-Star game. That said, the All-Star game when I was a kid, one, we never got to watch a lot of it because it was on late and we were never allowed to stay up late to watch. But you usually get the first three innings, and I got to see all these guys who I never got to watch play unless they were playing the Mets. And I don't watch a lot of Met games. So, it was such a big deal watching the All-Star game growing up, watching Dave Parker throw out Brian Downing to Gary Carter. I mean, a Pittsburgh Pirate and a Montreal Expo and a team together. You know, I mean, it was just Ozzie Smith playing shortstop and, you know, all these, you know, Pete Rose on the team and, you know, so many great players around. It was just so much fun. I think that tradition is long gone now with teams, with guys jumping all over the place and interleague play. The All-Star game has definitely lost its luster, and even the World Series to a certain extent has lost the luster of that, where, you know, the Yankees have to play the Dodgers just seven games a year if they made it to the World Series. So I think to break down the tradition thing, you know, you watch the outfields, you watch all the bumpers in the outfield and behind home plate, and they're full of advertisements. You watch a hockey game and the boards and the ice have advertisements, and they got them on their jerseys and they got them on their helmets. And, I'm sorry. I'm just a traditionalist, and, you know, I love traditions in sports. And, you know, the Yankees only team that have God Bless America play between the what do they call that, Jeff?
Seventh inning.
Seventh inning stretch. Thank you. The Yankees are the only team that still that do that. They're the only team other than up to this year with the Mets now doing an all-timers day game. And the one thing with the Yankee all-timers day, and I wish they would go back to the old days. You know, back in the 70s, it would be the Yankee all-timers versus, let's say, the National League all-stars. And they would bring in guys from teams all over the National League. And you get to see guys like, you know, Hank Aaron and Frank Robinson and Willie Mays playing on a field. Again, it was a fun game, but against Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio, and you know that was a fun thing. You know, now they do the Bombers and the Pinstripers to get more, but I think that would be something big to bring back some of the old timers from yesteryear. You know, so
would be nice if they did.
Yeah, but again, I get the whole naming thing. Listen, I could care less what the name on the stadium is. I don't think, you know, other than it being a landmark, you know, where are you going? I'm going over to that place. Oh, it's over by Giant Stadium, or it's over by MetLife Stadium, or I'm going over that place. It's by Yankee Stadium. You know, the Mets don't, you know, Mets used to be Shea Stadium. Now it's Citi Field. It's, I don't know. The traditions are gone, and I think it's sad. But I guess we'll move on from that, Jeff. I don't want to beat it to death.
All right, what do you got, man?
Okay, so, Jeff, I don't know if you know who Brittany Griner is. Are you aware of who Brittany Griner is?
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, and I think it's sad for all of us. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, it's the arrogance of the whole thing. Like, here's the thing. Why, you know, there are many people in prisons around the world that are Americans. There's a bunch that are Americans in Russian prisons. And I never hear anybody trying to get them out by you know, having all-star games named after them. And to me, I think it's arrogant and asinine. Let's take out the fact that I think she's a worthless human being who doesn't stand for who used to stay in the locker room, not come out for the national anthem, and all of that good stuff. Why is it that this, you know, woman is worth all of this to get her out of prison for breaking a law? She legitimately broke a law. Now, do I think it's a real law? No. To me, you know, okay, around here would probably be a slap, but it was. But why does she, Jeff, because she's a professional basketball player, a black gay woman, she deserves special treatment? And the president of the United States worrying about this? Come on, Jeff.
This was all done. She got caught supposedly breaking this law in Russia.
Yeah, she brought
right at the time that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Right.
Okay. And she's a high-profile American hostage or prisoner,
mm-hmm.
whereas Russia also has a high-profile prisoner that's being held by the United States.
Right. Yes.
So what I think is that Russia took this woman hostage,
mm-hmm.
knowing who she was, is holding her, detaining her, in hopes to have a few things go their way as far as sanctions go. In this war of Ukraine, and to have a few things eased on him.
Okay.
Because, you know, as much as life sucks for us here now, and it does suck,
mm-hmm.
we all know that.
Yep.
I think that the Russians have their problems, equal amount of problems in their own home country.
Right.
Due to a lot of things going on in the world today. And I think that they were hoping to use this woman as a way to ease some of that pain for their people and their country. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they were definitely with talks at one point about exchanging prisoners.
Yep, they're still talking about that.
Brittany Griner did not accidentally leave this package, this neatly packaged package in her suitcase and get caught with it. That was taken there on purpose.
Sure.
Okay.
Figuring that it doesn't matter if she breaks the law because she's a gay black woman professional basketball player.
No, listen, whatever she thought, it didn't go her way.
Nope.
We could say that much right off the bat
yep.
for her. But I can also say this much for her. One, I don't care what her thoughts were and what she thought she was going to get away with.
Right.
You got caught. All right, so now you got to pay your penalty.
Yeah.
And as far as your country goes, if you weren't sitting or if you weren't out standing with your hand over your chest for the national anthem, well, then you should. This is the last place you should be looking for help.
100%.
Matter of fact, all LeBron James, he's been saying plenty for you.
Yeah.
That you don't even want to come back to this country and everything else.
Which, by the way, he apologized for, jerk off.
Well, yeah, because he had no right to say it.
Absolutely.
You want to say, and LeBron James, you want to say something. You are probably a billionaire at this point in time. All money made without even leaving this motherfucking continent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's sad. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm reading it. I'm reading the part of it. And first off, the Russians want to trade her one-on-one for a guy by the name of Viktor Bout, a convicted Russian arms dealer currently serving a 25-year prison sentence in Illinois. And Griner wrote in a handwritten letter to Biden last week, she's terrified I might be here forever. Well, that's your fault. You know better. You're leaving this country. You know, it's like all these athletes who go to the airport with a loaded gun in their bag. You don't think you're going to get caught? Is that really what you're thinking? And I'm sorry. Yes, I agree with you. You know what? You don't like this country? Then don't come here looking for help. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not trading a basketball player for a guy who's an arms dealer who's trying to sell our weapons to other countries to use against us. You know, you can't do that. And for LeBron James to say that President Biden and Vice President Harris should be making this a priority and getting her back, why? Why? Who is Brittany Griner? Why does she deserve special treatment? There are tons of people being held around the world. So our president, who's a complete moron, and the vice president, who's probably even worse than that, can't get what they have to get done here right. You want them to concentrate on freeing some big black woman who's a basketball player? That's what you're looking for? It's mind-boggling. LeBron James needs to go away and stay away and be gone forever, because I got to be honest, I'm tired of that guy's bullshit.
Yeah, listen, he shouldn't be getting involved in such things such as this. He really shouldn't. You should just keep your mouth shut and keep your nose out of it. This woman, like I said, you know, she went into that country. She brought this stuff with her. If you thought it was if you knew and thought, like, oh, shit, this is accidental, then get rid of it in the terminal the first minute you get the chance.
Yeah.
Take it out of your bag, throw it in the garbage, and then you do without it. You knew that you wanted to get stoned, so you brought shit with you.
Yeah. And you knew you weren't going to get it there, so yeah. And Mike Weissman's right. And you know, again, you said it, and I agree. You know, don't sit there and tell us that you hate this country enough that I won't stand for our flag, but now I'm in trouble and I'm American. You got to help me. Go fuck yourself.
The look on her face on the pictures, the stills on TV that they show?
Yes.
And like, you don't want to just run up to her and, like, just cave her face?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And then you got to listen to her wife. Oh, she needs to come home. The president has to. Why? Why is she any special? There's a Marine being held there on espionage charges. There's tons of people around the world and in Russia being held. I don't see anybody waving the flag for those people. You know what? And why does this woman deserve any special treatment, especially for the fact that she hates this country? So I hope she stays there for 10 years. And they abuse the piss out of her. I do. I hope she's getting out of special treatment. She loses whatever's left of her career. She's stuck there, and she has to deal with that bullshit for a long time. But no, I guarantee you that the Biden administration will pull off a move somewhere online to get her back. And it's disgusting, and it just shows you how retarded, and I'm using the word retarded, this administration is. Brittany Griner broke the law, regardless of whether we agree with the law or not. It's the law of that country. You knew better. You're 100% right, Jeff. She knew going in that it was illegal. No doubt in my mind.
Wait, listen. Whether she knew it was illegal or not, what was not, to me, is not important, okay? Let's just not even touch that law for a minute.
Go ahead.
My thing is simply this. Don't lie to the world and tell them you brought it there by accident.
Right. Agreed.
Okay? Because they showed the package coming out of the suitcase, and it was neatly packed, and it was almost like packed in a way, like, you know, that no one happened to it, that it was safeguarded, And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I didn't know it was, I was could bring it here.
Right.
But you made the college, the old college try to get it there.
Right.
Now, whether you're telling us the truth or not, which I have tendency to believe that you're not.
Agreed.
Okay. You definitely did what you could.
Yeah, to get it there.
Get that item into that country so you can have it while you were there.
Yep. I agree. And again, I'm not buying it. And you cannot release an arms dealer for a woman who's a basketball player who got caught smuggling drugs, however you want to call it, whether it's vaping or whatever, into the country. You cannot do this. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how ridiculous he would look if he did this.
This is one of those things, Tom. Like you said, sooner or later, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And when it does happen, this will be one of those things that 20 years from now, way past our time, that they're still going to be talking about.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just going to be like, you know, here's Brittany Griner now at 65 years old. Is she... relives her time in a Russian prison. And,
yeah.
They'll be licking my cutlets and flicking my bean all day long while I was behind bars. And
yeah.
I didn't enjoy it at all, but
they
made me think.
I hope she gets to serve the entire 10 years. I got to be honest with you. I have no interest. And again, and more so, and you could say that whatever, I'm an ass. I'm sorry, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you want to stay in the locker room, you're against the United States, whatever, don't ask for help. You did what you had to do. Get yourself out of it. If you can't get yourself out of it, do the time or don't do the crime.
Yeah, listen, and you know what the best part is? You ain't getting a lawyer there. You're going to have to use a Russian lawyer, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't check to see how that works. That's actually a great question. I'd have to look that up, but... Yeah, again, whatever she gets, and she deserves. And she should not be turning around and say, oh, please, United States of America, I'm a citizen, I love you, come get me out. No, have a nice day. Have a nice day. And I hope she has to do the 10 years, every day of it. Not time off for good behavior, not, we're overcrowded, we're letting her out. I hope she does 10 years in one day.
They're already overcrowded, them fucking prisons, you know that.
Yeah. So I do. I hope that goes on for a long time. I hope she mom's funny. I hope for sure that they throw in jail, lock away the key, Jeff. But you know, there's another one I want to finish up with since we're on that subject because I don't want to break this up. Johnny Collins is popping in to say happy birthday to Jeff.
What's up, Johnny boy?
No, Johnny Collins. Megan Rapinoe. Do you know who that is, Jeff?
Yeah, that's that other fucking idiot
from
the soccer team.
Yeah, so here's a woman who knelt, played for the U.S. national team. Now Brittany Griner plays basketball in the WNBA, which is one of the worst. I tried watching the game the other night. It is the worst basketball you ever watch. I think when we used to play at PS13 with Matt Sozio and everybody, I think it was better basketball than I watched in this game.
Is that bad?
Horrendous. It's just bad basketball. You know, it's just bad. I can't watch it. Forget about the politics of it. So, but Megan Rapinoe plays for the American team, that whether it's the Olympic team or the World Cup team, she was part of the national team. Very talented players. I liked women's soccer, to be honest with you. What's up, Johnny Collins? We miss you around here. We don't see you no more. I used to watch the games. I liked women's soccer better than the men's soccer. I thought the team was better. It was a little more exciting. It was a little better competition. Well, she turned into a complete ass. Kneeling, wearing the uniform of the United States, kneeling for our anthem around in other countries, where other countries are basically laughing at us because here we have our plays won't stand for our own anthem. And in the last, I think it was the World Cup, her and her team, they won it. They bullied a bunch of bad teams, 13 goals in a game. But, you know, the worst part of it was, you know, when they won it, they acted like asses. They were cursing, grabbing crotches. I mean, they were having this big celebration, and they completely embarrassed themselves. And yet this moron in the White House thought enough of it to give this woman the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor a citizen can get in our country, and award her like she's some sort of role model, some sort of great American. You know, Jeff, you know, shouldn't you, to get an award from your country, shouldn't you at least like your country?
I would like to think so.
I mean, I'm not a Joe Biden fan. I think the guy's a moron. I think the guy's, I think anybody who voted for him should have their head examined. But if the president called me and said, "Hey, you know, you've done some really nice things. I'm going to give you the Presidential Medal of Freedom," I would be honored and I would accept it from the moron and be gracious about it. Because I think it's that important for in this country that to have those traditions, but to award it to a woman who disgraced the national team by kneeling for the anthem around the world, not in just at home in our own country, Jeff, around the world at the Olympics, at the World Cup, embarrassing, and then embarrassed themselves in the way they played and in the way they won and celebrated. I just, if those are the people that we're celebrating, we got issues here.
Well, Tom, one, there's already issues here regardless. And window liquor. what exactly smelled like mackerel, John? Could you elaborate on that one, please?
I think I know what he's talking about.
I don't quite get it, John. Yeah. Can you explain that, please? Exactly what smelled like mackerel. That's what we need to know. Tom, we already have major issues. If you haven't noticed, good God, man. The last thing we should be worrying about is what a soccer team was when you just change the channel and don't watch them.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. But there is a...
Well, can I ask you a personal question?
Their crotches.
Yes.
Well, how does that smell like mackerel, man? I don't understand.
Holy mackerel.
Can you elaborate a little bit more, please?
Holy mackerel.
Like what exactly? What, and then were they wearing Crocs? What? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Is it disgusting? Yeah, it's beyond disgusting. But you know what? This is what people want. This is. I was reading an article. I was waiting for the computer for the show to start. Right.
Uh-huh.
I came upstairs and I got home a little early, and they were talking about Demi Lovato. She got cut in the face with some kind of crystal or something. Like, who gives a flying fuck, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were, somebody came to her defense because they said they, like they. No. Her. Her, Demi Lovato, her. And then I remembered, it was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. She's not a her anymore. She's they. But I can't figure that out. What bathroom do they use?
Yeah.
When they has to go to the bathroom, what bathroom do they use?
So if Demi Lovato goes into the they bathroom, which is she considers the woman's bathroom, if I consider it the woman's bathroom, can I go in and sit next to Demi Lovato?
Let me ask you something. You've been in enough bathrooms in your day.
Plenty.
And how many times have you gone into a men's room and you're like, good God, it's like an inch full of fucking piss in here.
Yeah.
I don't see them, you know, going into the fucking men's rooms. I don't see they going into the men's room to go in there to pick the loaf.
Yeah.
They're probably going to use the women's room, which is probably equally as bad, but it's still the point where it may be not be as bad.
Well,
And they're allowed to think this way. They're allowed to have that mindset, and they're allowed to people bending over backwards to fucking go along with this, and it's just, it's a shame. It's all fucked
well,
up.
Do you think
it's all fucked up?
Well, what do you think that Demi Lovato, any of those tree hugging, you know, they wearing person would be happy if their 8 or 9 year old daughter went to the bathroom and a gentleman with the Schwanz hanging down to his knees was standing in there with the wig on, saying that he's a they or a her or whatever? Do you think Demi Lovato would be okay with that? Probably not.
I don't know if her fucking daughter's fucking sphincter is going to be all right with it.
Right, but you know, they wouldn't be all right with it.
Probably be okay with it.
It's pathetic and disgusting. And I'm sorry, a person like Megan Rapinoe should not be. I don't think a person like that who disgraced their country, who obviously doesn't like their country, should be given the highest honor a civilian can be given. You know, she should be given a rescinded passport and send it to another country. Go live in Russia or go live somewhere else and see if you can do what you... Do you think if she played for the Russian national team and she didn't stand for the Olympics, you think they'd be okay with that? I don't think so.
No.
But we're a bad country, Jeff. But we're a bad country. You know what? It's sickening. I get tired of it. You know, I say it all the time, man. I just want to bury my head in the sand and not pay attention to it anymore. I really do.
Here's the thing, though. If you can't.
I know I can't. I know.
Because if you do that, which I understand your point. Don't get me wrong. I understand why you say it and everything else. But if you did bury your head in the sand and you decided to take it out in 6 months, you're not going to recognize the world.
No, I don't recognize it now, but you're right. I get it. It's just ridiculous. And I don't know. I don't know, guys, if, you know, I just don't know where it ends. Is there, you know, you almost say you need something to happen, good or bad, a big, huge event to maybe bring it all back to normal. I just don't know if you can ever get there.
Nothing's going to happen.
No, John. You know, John, I think it was the Iranian team a few years ago, the Iranian men's team. I don't know if it was the volleyball team or the soccer team. I think it was the soccer team. They lost. They got beat bad. They went home, and they strapped them to chairs and beat the bottoms of their feet with, like, sticks and busted their feet up. And this
I believe
is,
that was the Iraqi.
Okay, yeah. And, I mean, they lost a game, and they got the bottoms of their feet beaten. I don't get it. I really just don't get these people. If you don't love this country, don't play for the teams. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. But here, you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want to say. I want to see the first person now that turns around and gets nailed for a major felony and then turns around and just calmly says, well, listen, I'm sorry, but, you know, that person over there said that they, meaning me, couldn't do this or couldn't do that, and I just tired of constantly being put down and being called a man or a woman or whatever I am, because that's the parts that I have, instead of being called they, and I just fucking lost it. And then they're going to turn around and be like, well, that's a shame. There's a crying room over there. Go over there, go cry for a few hours, relax, get it out of your system. And then we'll make sure that they don't bother. Well, they can't bother me again until they kill them.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean?
I'll give you another one. We'll get Hard Rocket Sports. Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. Remember, 2 weeks from now, our 8th anniversary, 550th show. That's right, 550 episodes of Hard Rocket Sports will be celebrated July 28th. We'll be doing our anniversary show. B. Brian Blair, wrestler from the 80s, and Mark Guscott, the former drummer of Trickster, will be part of our guests for that night. So make sure you guys all come on back on the July 28th to help us celebrate 8 years doing this together and 550 episodes. So thanks a lot for everybody. It's still plenty to get to tonight. So hang in there. You know, how about the...
John's got about the 10-year-old girl that's getting the abortion.
Yeah.
Now, I saw the article, but I did not read the article. But correct me if I was wrong. Wasn't this girl raped or abused or something that she needs to get?
I did not read the article. I believe
she was the victim of a crime of some kind.
Now, see, again, listen. I know we're not trying to get too deep into politics and stuff here, but my theory is I don't believe in abortion personally, but I also don't believe that I should tell anybody else what to do with their body. I think it should be regulated, though. You should not be able to have 15 abortions. You should not have an abortion, you know, a week before, like some of the Democrats want in Virginia. They tried to pass the law. You can have an abortion right up to the birth of the child. So I think it should be regulated, and people should be able to do what they want and how they want it. But I would not, and it should be your personal choice because that's how we raised here.
Well, regardless of what the thing is,
yeah.
This is about a 10-year-old girl that...
Yeah.
That is getting an abortion, and Biden had something to do with it. But I believe the girl was a victim of rape or some kind of sexual assault.
Okay.
She just wasn't – I don't believe she was having a sexual relationship and got pregnant.
Right.
You know, there would have been a valid point and reason for her getting an abortion.
Right.
And as far as them regulating it, that's impossible to regulate because you could get an abortion here in New York, and then all of a sudden when they say, well – you know, you can't get no more, Jane, because you've had 10 in the last 8 years, and you're just like, well, okay, and then you go over to Jersey or something, and you go get another 10.
I'm with you, Jeff. I got you to a certain extent, but I do believe there should be some sort of rules to it. You should be able to have an abortion, you know, a day before or the day of your giving birth.
I think it's a little bit more medically based, Tom. I don't think you could just turn around and be like, you know what, I carry this for 9 months. I don't feel like I did no more. I'm just going to get it deported. I think it has something to do with the mother being in danger and shit.
No, again, I think there should be, again, I think there should be rules for, yes, if the mom's in danger, no, there are rules that say basically if you decide in the 8th month, again, I don't think there's any rule against it. And Virginia tried to make it a law where you can have late-term abortions, and it got voted. Literally, where you can give birth and let the baby just die. You could just let the baby die.
How does the baby just die?
You know, one of these days, I'll tell you, my wife will tell you a story about when she worked in the hospital, a baby was born and was put in a room and left to basically die.
It would take some time for it to die.
Again, I will let her remind me next time we're together. She'll tell you the story. So I'm just telling you that there are crazy shit out there.
There you go, because there's John's thing. A fence jumper ended up nailing this girl and raping her, and they're taking her to a state where she can get one. And I don't have a problem with that. If this girl's 10 years old,
I agree with you.
Have a baby to term. She's not even physically. She may be physically able to have the baby, get pregnant, but is she going to be physically able to deliver a baby?
No, I agree. I don't believe in abortion, but again, if you told me my wife was, could die from it, or there were extenuating circumstances for it, then of course I would think about it. And I think that's why I don't think abortion should be flat out illegal around the world. I think there should be rules to it, though, and it should be decided on by the person. If I believe that there's no abortion, then that's my right. If you do, that's fine. But there do need to be rules involved. When is the baby – again, we're getting at it, but me either.
We're getting too deep into this.
But what point does the baby have a right? When does the baby have the right to live? That's my point.
I don't know.
That's the point. So, but let's not get
official. Zach Wilde is definitely confirmed for Pantera.
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I told you.
Confirmed.
He's confirmed to be in it?
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Huge news, Jeff.
Huh?
That's huge news.
Yeah.
Well, it might not be great news for you, but that's huge news that Zach Wilde will be going out with Phil Anselmo and Rex Brown and whoever decided to get behind the kit. Interesting. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Listen, we'll play some music from it. I'm sure we'll get some music along the way, and we'll play it right here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So
we need to do some sports, man. Enough of this fucking.
We got in the weeds. I told you we're getting in the weeds. All right. So let's get to some sports. I got plenty to get to tonight. Jeff, I asked you to do me a favor. Well, first, let me ask you this. Lamar Jackson is now open to the idea of signing his contract extension with the Ravens. You know, he's been a little reluctant. I guess maybe he was trying to have a power play here, but now he put up a post on social media: "I need $. I need money." So, my question to you is: if you're the Ravens, now you know that the bar's been set high with the Deshaun Watson contract. If you're the Ravens, Jeff, he's won a playoff game for you. He's been in the playoffs a few times now. He's been an MVP. How well do you reward Lamar Jackson if you're the Baltimore Ravens?
I don't know, because it's like saying Joe Flacco is a free agent, he's just roaming around out there, and he won a Super Bowl for us. So, do we sign him to a $35 million a year deal? Because he won the Super Bowl about 10 years ago. I don't know if.
Well, do you let it play out?
Who you want to build your team around?
Well, I was just going to ask you. That's going to be the caveat to it. Do you let it play out and maybe say, hey, we don't think we need to go in a different direction. Let him play the season out and see how it goes. To me, I think Lamar Jackson, you know what you're getting. So to me, I wouldn't make the financial commitment that the Browns made, but I'm sure that's what Lamar Jackson is going to want. I got to be honest, I think Lamar Jackson has a better resume than Sean Watson.
Well, he's been in the playoffs more, yeah.
And he was an NFL MVP. He hasn't missed a full season because of 24 accusations of sexual misconduct. So is that contract that Deshaun Watson, is he entitled to that?
I don't think he's entitled to that, man. I don't like the idea of him getting that kind of money, man. I don't.
No, me either. But again, if you're the Ravens, you're stuck, because if you don't give it to him or give him a contract that's close to it, he's going to be unhappy and play unhappy, you know, and you're going to wind up losing him. And now you're letting, you know, your number one draft pick, MVP, you know, MVP quarterback of 4 years, 5 years, you walk away. So it's a tap dance that I'm glad I wouldn't have to make, because to me, it's a no-brainer. I would tell my team, do not sign him.
Yeah, but you know what? The quarterback position is so valued.
Correct.
That somebody is going to throw the money at him if they think that he's worth it because of what he's done and how close that he's gotten him. And while I agree with you, I don't think he's the one. But you know what? You yourself have said and wanted to keep lesser talent.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody else available.
Well, that's the question of the day. Yeah, that's going to be my follow-up to you is, okay, well, if you're the Ravens, you move on. Then who are you?
You're the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. Okay? And at the end of this season, here's the people you got floating around. You have RG3 who announced that he wants to make a comeback.
Uh-huh.
Carson Wentz is looking for a home. You're going to have Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones or Lamar Jackson? You know, Lamar Jackson is clearly the cream of the crop out of all of those that I just mentioned.
Oh, sure.
Maybe throw in a Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Darnold, and people are going to be beating themselves up to get after fucking Lamar Jackson. So why put yourself in a position next year where you may have to be he may be the subject of a bidding war?
Yeah.
You know, where it may end up being cheaper to keep him, and maybe they just don't sign him for long numbers. Maybe they sign him and, you know, okay, we'll give you $40 million a year, but we're only going to give you 3 years. You're not getting five.
Yeah, again, I would do a two-year with a team option for three or one of those contracts that's not fully guaranteed, like the normal ones go. But
he's not fully guaranteed contract is like a fart in the breeze at this point.
I agree with you because Deshaun Watson has changed the whole thing now. So
Cleveland Browns changed the whole
correct,
thing.
Correct, agreed. So my point, though, is if you're the Ravens and Lamar Jackson says, hey, I ain't coming back until you give me a fully guaranteed deal for 4 years or 5 years, what do they do? Because you're right. Slim pickings out there. You know, we're gonna transition to the top 10 quarterbacks playing right now. And boy, oh, boy, it is very hard to get 10 quarterbacks.
I got a good solid 10.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's some people I left off the list, and, Tom, it felt good. It felt good to leave him off the list. It felt real good.
Yeah, yeah. As long as they let
I'm going to tell you right now.
The guy in green.
I did not put Daniel Jones on my list.
I wasn't expecting you to. Yeah, I'm sure it did. But, yeah, I think that's the tough part is if you're them, I get that he's not great, but he might be better than the second wave of guys behind him. You know, so unless you're drafting a guy and then they have that whole worry to worry about.
Well, listen, last year – in the draft, that they certainly didn't seem anybody was worthy of getting a picked to unseat any quarterback that's out there right now.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of project quarterbacks that were drafted.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, Mitchell Trubisky gets thrown out of fucking Chicago, gets picked up by Buffalo as a backup, and now is going into camp as the starter over their number one pick in the draft this year, and he's still the starter.
Yep.
That's got to tell you something.
Look, same thing in Atlanta. Marcus Mariota, you know, got run out of Tennessee and was a backup to Derek Carr for a couple of years, and now he's the starter in Atlanta, having done nothing to warrant it.
Atlanta is – I would rather be the backup to Carr with the Raiders than to be the starter in the Falcons. Because right now he's got such a bad position that he's in.
Yeah.
Okay. You're talking about a guy in Mariota that hasn't played full time in what, 2 years, 3 years?
Probably, yeah, at least two. At least two, yeah.
So now you're asking him to come in and be productive and to play and have a good career. I don't know how that's going to happen. That's one thing. Second of all, Atlanta's rebuilding.
Yep.
I don't think Joe Montana could go in there and have a good career at this point in time.
Yep, go ahead.
So, you know, you're putting that on his shoulders. So you're pretty much killing Marcus Mariota's career by signing him to a contract in Atlanta, unless for some reason, you know, they have no receivers. I know they have a couple rookie receivers, you know, unless they completely turn it around in 1 year, which I highly, highly doubt.
I agree.
I just don't see this turning out well for Mr. Mariota.
Yeah, again, I would agree with you, Jeff, but just to end up the Lamar Jackson thing, I think Baltimore's a tough spot. I'm glad for it. I'm not a Baltimore Ravens fan. I dislike their team and their coach, so I'm happy. And to be honest with you, I hope they sign him for a five-year, $300 million, fully guaranteed deal that they can't bring any new players in and he falls apart like I think he's going to fall apart. So I'd be thrilled and happy, but
he hasn't fallen apart yet, so...
No, not yet, but it's close. It's going to happen because he's not giving me any indication that he's going to change and be a better quarterback.
Well, listen, if it means anything to you, he's packed on about 15 pounds over the winter, and they came back. He's supposedly pretty chiseled, so let's see what happens.
Oh, look at this! Leonard and Enzo and Enzo DeLuca are watching from the Mount Carmel feast. Listen, boys.
Good. Get us some Zeppelis, man.
Guys, please wish everybody at the Mark Carmel Feast in Rosebank our good wishes, and I hope they have a great time. I hope to stop into the feast myself at some point. I haven't been to the feast in, God, it's got to be 30 years.
I went a number of years without going to the feast. I will always make sure that I get to the feast at least once over the some Zeppelin.
Yes, I intend to do the same thing. A Yankee game. Cortez has settled down. It's a good win. It would be a good win for the Yankees tonight. No score right now in the top of the fifth. Reds one man on, one man out. Cortez has settled down after a little bit of a rough start. A couple of hits in the beginning, but no runs in this game so far, folks. And the Mets are starting a 4-game series out in Chicago against the Cubs. So Yankees and with Boston and then Chicago and the Mets as we head into the All-Star break. Both teams playing well, and Yankees are 62-25. So yes, I promise you, Leonard, I am going to try to get to the feast this year, even if it's for an hour. So I have, again, it's been 30 years since I went there, and we used to do it as kids. It was always a big time for us to go up to the feast and play some games and listen to some of the entertainment and just be act a fool. The anniversary show, Len, is in 2 weeks. The 28th is our anniversary show. 8 years and 550 shows on July 28th. So thank you for asking. Appreciate that. So Jeff, staying in the theory of these quarterbacks and all that, I would be interested in hearing your top 10 now. Do you want to hear the top 10 that ESPN put out there, or do you want to give me your top 10 first?
It does not matter, but look, did ESPN just put the – wow.
What's the matter?
Here's some more breaking news.
Go ahead. More breaking news Jeff has. Go ahead.
Richie Holmes evidently knows somebody that is friends with Zach Wild. Who is giving him information, just spoke to Phil. They are going to tour as Pantera.
Wow. Wow. So it's Zach Wild and Phil Anselmo and Rex Brown as Pantera.
Charlie Benanti.
Oh, it's official Charlie Benanti?
Yeah.
Wow. So my...
Actually, I shouldn't say that. It just says that... Zach is confirmed for Pantera.
Wow. I get the – Jeff, I get the way you feel, and you're probably 150% right. But from a certain standpoint, I think it works. It's always been the name that's been thrown out there. It's a guy who wants to do it. The guy, I believe, was friends with Dimebag and Vinny and the band. So, yeah, I to be honest with you, I think this is – probably, the best situation? If there was one.
Totally no.
I got you. I know you don't like it. I know it. I get it.
No, but let's get to these quarterbacks, man.
All right, so good. Do you want to give yours first? How do you want to do it?
First of all, did they go through – did they just give a list of 10, or did they go 1 through
10? They
went
1 through 10. They went 1 through 10. Okay. So I will give you their top 10, and then you can comment on it and all that other good stuff.
Okay.
All right, so their number 10 was Dak Prescott. The guy who missed it was number 11 was Lamar Jackson. So at number 10, they had Dak Prescott. At number 9, Deshaun Watson, which I thought was an interesting one considering he hasn't played. And I think it's suspect. Russell Wilson, a little further on the list than I expected. I think it's probably a good spot for him. I would have put him in about the same place. So Russell Wilson makes it to number 8. Here's where it starts to go funky for me. I think Justin Herbert should be at much higher on this list than number 7. But they have him at number 7 with Matthew Stafford at 6, which is okay. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of Stafford, but he probably deserves to be here. Joe Burrow makes it to 5. Now, here's where it gets funky for me. Brady is 4. Josh Allen, 3. Patrick Mahomes is 2. And Aaron Rodgers is number 1. Now, to me, Josh Allen needs to be number 1. There's no doubt in my mind that right now, based on age, the way he's played a whole bit, Josh Allen is number 1 quarterback in football right now. But go ahead.
You want mine?
I want your list. Go ahead.
Do you want me to go from 10 to 1?
However you want to do it.
I'll give you from 10 on.
Go ahead.
All right. So my number 10, I got Matthew Ryan.
Wow. Okay.
Number 9, Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Number 8, Mac Jones. Number 7, Justin Herbert. Number 6, Joe Burrow. Number 5, Matt Stafford. Number 4, Wilson. Number 3, Aaron Rodgers. Number 2, Josh Allen. Number 1, Pat Mahomes.
All right, your list is already shady. All right, first off, I take Allen over Mahomes any day right now. Any day and twice on Sunday.
Patrick Mahomes has been to how many AFC championships?
I got it. But it's not about that, because if that's the case, then Justin Herbert doesn't deserve to be on the list. He hasn't even made the playoffs yet. I can't go by that.
I hear you. But right now they're asking for the 10 best in the league.
I got you.
That's how I see it.
All
right now,
okay.
Mahomes to me is the best because of what he's done. If that's the case, then there's consideration for Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't won anything, but he's been to how many NFC championship games and won what?
Very true.
Three or four MVPs. But
very true.
Let's see your list and see where we
stand. Well, again, here's my other problem. Where's Tom Brady on your list?
Mine?
Yeah. Where's Tom Brady?
He didn't fucking make it.
How does Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, who threw for 5,000 yards last year, not make? So that's why this is not even a list. You can't. I won't even put this in the annals. In fact, I'm going to stricken this from the show. It's stricken from the record of the show that Tom Brady.
Okay. Tom Brady ain't the same man that you thought he was, my friend.
Doesn't matter. He still threw for 5,000 yards last year.
That was last year.
Yeah, so you take a whole sudden this is the year that it happens, he falls apart. The guy is one play away from another Super Bowl last year. One play. Defensive play.
Got a list for me?
I got a partial list for you.
Got a list for me?
I got a partial list for you.
Come on, let's hear it.
Okay, here's how a real list goes.
Here we go.
We got Rodgers. I'm going from number 1 because I only got up to 6, I think. I think I got to 6 or 7. 7. So number 1 is Rodgers.
You only got 7 people on your list?
Yeah, because I couldn't come up with another quarterback I want that could make my list.
So there's fucking 32 guys that play quarterback. You can come up with 10 of them?
Nope. To me, there's not one guy.
You didn't finish the NFL. That no record existed before the Super Bowl.
Rodgers, I went Josh Allen, Brady, Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Burrow, and then Stafford. That's the list. That's the real list. Now, I only put Rodgers in there because I still think he's playing at a very high level. Okay? Brady only made it to three because he was good. He retired, he came back, and he's 55 years old. So I had to put him a little low. Otherwise,
so you don't consider Russell Wilson.
Nope.
You didn't consider Joe Burrow.
No, Burrow's there. Burrow's number six on my list.
Matt Jones means nothing.
See, Matt Jones was close. Matt Jones was close, but I had a hard time because he was so up and down last year. I do think he's a good quarterback. I'll amend my list and add Matt Jones and make him number eight on my list. He would make
now,
eight.
DeSean Jackson on the list, I just don't understand that. I don't get that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm not a Dak fan. I think Dak's completely overrated. I think Dak Prescott is the most overrated quarterback in football. He's had the best offensive line, one of the best receivers in the game, and he has not even smelled the playoffs other than one game last year and gotten bounced. Okay? I'm sorry. The guy's the most overrated quarterback in football, and I'm not going to put him on a list.
That's fine.
Yeah, I just...
That's fine. I want to know. Yeah. I want to know.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then if we were to reevaluate Tom Brady and put him in a division where he didn't play, the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets three times a year to get six easy victories, throw for how many touchdowns and how many thousands of yards against that one division, where he would stand as far as statistical-wise and where he would be in the NFL – among the NFL greats.
But how do you do that?
He paid them for six games a season.
But how do you do that? He did play them six games a season. So how do you go in there?
If he didn't play in such a fucking downtrodden division, that's what that says to me.
But here's the thing. He still ran through the playoffs and won seven Super Bowls. I get your point. But, a lot of teams – look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys won the division the last few years – because they played in a very bad division. So they won, they got to the playoffs, and then they get bounced immediately. So that's the perfect example. If Tom Brady was a bad – if the Brady and the Pats were a bad team, when they got to the playoffs, they would get beat. They didn't. They won the Super Bowl six times. And he went to Tampa and wins it again and wins the number seven. Yeah, I got to disagree with you totally. I can't do the what if he played in another division. I have no idea. I don't know what that would have brought. Who knows? If he was a Minnesota Viking instead, or if he played, what division would you put him in and then said that he would have not competed? I don't know.
I would have put him in the NFC East.
Yeah, okay, and then he would have ran roughshod over the NFC East.
I don't know about that, though.
Yeah, again, well, maybe not because the Giants kicked the shit out of him in the Super Bowl every year they played. So, of course, I can't agree with you more.
I don't know about that, Tom. I don't know about that.
I happen to believe all of that. But
I don't know about that, Tom.
Well, again, I don't like Mahomes at the top of your list. I think Mahomes is a good quarterback, a really good quarterback, maybe even a great quarterback. But I think it's a bit overrated. And you know what? I saw it in the playoffs last year. You saw it in the second half. He completely fell apart.
Game in the playoffs?
Well, again, I get it. And I just... There was a lot of games in the regular season where he wasn't the guy he's supposed to be. I think this year is going to be a big year. No more Tyreek Hill. Let's see what he does this year. Does he take a step backwards? I don't know. I think he is a product of his division, of his team and the team around him, and it's a good team around him. I want to see it.
Well, we will find out sooner or later.
Yeah, so do I. Looking forward to seeing it. So we're going. Jeff went. Matt Ryan. Which, all right. Listen, Matt Ryan's still a good player in the league. Dak Prescott, Mac Jones was just a surprise to me. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, who's completely overrated. I don't know how Russell Wilson wound up at number four in your thing. I wouldn't let Russell Wilson play for the Giants right now. You got to be kidding me.
Why would you? You got Danny Jones.
That's right. We got a good quarterback. You're absolutely right. 110%. We got a good quarterback.
I don't know what you read about this guy and where you're reading it. Like, what did his parents write a sports article or something?
No, a lot of people, especially his teammates, a lot of people are high on the fact.
His teammates going to say, Tom, his teammates can't turn around and say, you know, listen, we're going to see. We're going to hope that he plays. We're going to hope this. The guy's going to fucking, he's going to fail. He's going to fail.
No, I can't wait for the end of the year. I'm predicting 4,000 yards plus, 30 TDs.
Oh, good.
13 interceptions.
Oh, my God.
400 to 500 yards rushing with a couple of rushing touchdowns.
Really?
I just announced it right on the air for you to hear it. Write it down. Put it on a marker someplace. 4,000 yards.
I can't because in case you're not right,
4,000 yards.
I don't want to be like jumping off a fucking bridge. I don't even put a pen to paper with this.
4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 400 to 500 yards rushing with a couple of TDs on the running side. I got it, Jeff. I got it. It's all set
disgusting.
Up.
Disgusting.
All right, so let's move on from that list to another list. I don't know if you got to see it today, which was the all 10 top 10 NFL teams of all time. Did you get a chance to see that today?
We got it sent to us, but I didn't get a chance to work on it.
I'm going to put it up there so we can talk about it. How's that? I'm going to put it up on the screen for you.
You're going to put it on the screen?
I'm going to put it on the screen because that, I think it's important. I think it's whoever did this list must have worked on your worked on your top 10 quarterback list because they're on crack too. Hold on. Let me get to it. Let me find it where I put that. Frank and Matt, let me do it from there. And where's the list? Okay, there it is. Let's share that screen on there, Jeffy boy. All right, Jeff, can you see that pretty good?
Yes, sir.
All right, so Jeff, they have it. Let's run it from top to bottom. The 72 Miami Dolphins, the 1985 Chicago Bears, the 1984 San Francisco 49ers, the 2007 New England Patriots, the 1991 Washington Redskins, the 89 Frisco 49ers, 75 Steelers, the 99 Rams, the 92 Cowboys, and the 1998 Denver Broncos. Jeff, this list is so bad, I think you wrote it. That's how bad this list is. Is that or a Jet fan wrote it? One or the other.
Oh, listen, they ain't no Giants teams on it, so
well,
that's one thing.
First, here's my first major problem. How are the 86 Giants not on this list? One of the greatest teams of all time.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. First off, second of all, here's my problem, and you're going to think I'm crazy. How does the 2007 New England Patriots wind up on this list when they lost the Super Bowl?
So they were 17-1, 18-1? 18-1, that's how, right there.
Every team on this list won the Super Bowl but that team.
So what?
You being a great team, you got to win the championship.
Do you know what this is?
I don't know, Jeff. Your bank account? What am I looking at?
No, this is a very old book.
Okay.
It says the Book of Knowledge.
Okay.
Let me explain.
You're going to explain the Book of Knowledge to me?
It's held together by leather straps and everything.
Okay.
Okay. It's got very old pages, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says right in the book about... What was it? Did you ask? Why did that team make it?
Yeah. Why did the 2007 New England Patriots make this list as the number four team all the time when they didn't win the Super Bowl?
These pages are very old and very yellow, Tom. Put a lot of knowledge in this book, a lot of history in this book.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
And it says they were 18-1. That's why they're in the top 10 list.
But you didn't win the Super Bowl. How could you be a great team if you didn't win the Super Bowl?
They're still a great team, 18-1.
It's bogus.
It's not bogus.
It's bogus.
How many losses did the 85 Bears have?
One, I believe.
One?
Yeah, those are Miami Dolphins on a Monday night.
All of these teams on the list
were
all either one loss or...
I don't know about that.
Okay, so then just because they didn't win the Super Bowl...
But everybody on this list won the Super Bowl except for that team. Jeff, how could you be the number four?
18-1, Tom.
You didn't win the Super Bowl. You lost the biggest one of all of them.
18-1.
It doesn't matter. You can't be on this list and win and lose the Super Bowl. It can't.
They're on the list. 18-1.
It can't be. It's completely horseshit.
It's
completely horseshit. Forget about the rest of the list. You can go up with 100 teams. The 86 Giants not getting on this list is bogus. Completely bogus.
Oh, my God.
Completely bogus. You know, the Cowboys of 92, all right, you can go with that. I think the Cowboy teams of the 70s, I would have went with it. I thought they were better teams, but I can live with that. The 98 Denver Broncos? The 98 Denver Broncos? I mean, are we kidding ourselves? There's no Green Bay Packer team. No team, no Vince Lombardi. 1967-68 Packer team. How is the Packers not on here?
First of all, the 1998 Denver Broncos, isn't that the first year that John Elway actually won a Super Bowl?
I believe that was the first one, yeah.
All right, so you got that. The 92 Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Was it Aikman?
Aikman, Irvin. Yes. Yep. Yep.
Okay, the 99 St. Louis Rams. Greatest show on turf, no?
Yeah.
The 75 Steelers, that would be the Immaculate Reception Steelers, correct?
I believe that is the year of the Immaculate Reception, yes.
The 89 49ers.
Steve Young, Jerry Rice, that's the one I think we watched that Super Bowl. That was Cincinnati. I think that was the Bengals.
No, I don't know. Well,
no, no, I think I'm wrong. 89 was the year they beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl. 88, they beat the Bengals. 89, they beat the Chargers. And 90, they lost to the Giants going to the Super Bowl.
And the 91 Redskins, what was that, a Doug Williams team?
No, I think the 91 team, if I'm not mistaken, was the third quarterback, which was the first one was Theismann. The second one was Mark Rippon's team. Yes, good call.
Okay, to say 84 49ers, we know what they did leading up to that. We know what the Bears did, and we knew what the 72 Dolphins did.
Yep.
Tom, I don't have a problem with the 2007 Patriots being on that because of what they did during the season. Just because they didn't win the Super Bowl, who else went 18-1?
But they lost the biggest game of all. You can't be a great team. You can't be greatest team of all time, and you did win the championship. You can't. Over, and again, if you're telling me there was all the options, I'd say, okay, the 86 Giants won the Super Bowl. What happened to the two Packer teams of the 60s? You're talking about almost 20 guys on those teams who were Hall of Famers. Vince Lombardi's your coach, and you're putting a team, and again, I love the Patriots and Bill Belichick, but you put the team in there that didn't even win the Super Bowl. You can't be a greatest team of all time and not have won the Super Bowl.
They went 18-1 and would have been 19-0. There's no issue for them not being on the list.
There shouldn't be. Again, you want to replace the 91 Redskins. The 91 Redskins was an average team. They were an average team. They won a Super Bowl with Mark Rippon as quarterback. You got to be kidding. The 98, this is a ridiculous list.
Come on.
How does Green Bay Packers not wind up on this list? You're talking about one of the greatest franchises of all time. They've won five Super Bowls. Four Super Bowls.
You don't even know how many Super Bowls.
How do they not wind up on this list?
How do you not put the Jets on this list?
Oh my God, Jets! Seriously,
when they opened up, they opened up and held the door open for the other AFL teams to come into the NFL.
You're embarrassing yourself now. You just embarrassed yourself.
You're just afraid.
I have to hold on. To all our fans and friends out there, I have to formally apologize for Jeff's. He's obviously drinking before the show.
Like
oh my God, the Jets! The Jets couldn't even make the top 100 teams of all time,
please.
Let alone the top 10 teams.
Please,
the 2007 New England Patriots are a very good team, even a great team. They are not one of the greatest teams of all time. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
They're
not even the best team of that season. The Giants are because they won the Super Bowl.
The Giants were 9-7 that
the
season.
The Giants won the Super Bowl. Who's the best team in football from 2007? It's the New York Giants. Why? They won the Super Bowl.
The Giants won the Super Bowl. That does not make them the best team.
Yes, they do. Of course it does.
No, it don't.
You're whoever has the ball, the Giants are the best team.
I know it's lean times right now.
Oh my God!
But whoever's listening is
so you're telling me the team that lost the Super Bowl was the best team of the season? Come on, no. Jeff. The team that lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they were fucking 18-0.
But they lost. They lost the Super Bowl.
18-0, Tom.
And they lost the Super Bowl.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it does. What does that mean, though?
But they were 18
But what does that even mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? They lost.
It means that they were undefeated going into the Super Bowl.
And they lost. So how many teams out there, I would like to look this one up. How many teams lost one game during the regular season and lost the Super Bowl? How many 15-1 teams made the playoffs and got bounced? Are they the greatest of all time? Of course not. Of course not.
No, but how many of those teams went into the Super Bowl at 15-1?
But
the 2007 New England Patriots had an undefeated season, 16-0.
And they,
the only other team to be undefeated at the end of the season is the 72 Dolphins.
And they won the Super
Bowl.
And I'm
going to tell you something else, too, okay?
Oh, my God, you're so off on this one.
And Frank Jeffrey
yeah.
with the 72 Dolphins, all right? The 2007 New England Patriots actually won more games than the 72
yeah,
Dolphins.
Listen, I think the 72 Dolphins are completely overrated. I have no issue with that. I'm not saying they belong on the list. I'll be honest with you, if they belong here, they're further down they should be. My only point is you can't be a greatest team of all time and not won the Super Bowl.
Come, they're on the list, bro. They were 18-0 going into the Super
but
Bowl.
But they lost the Super Bowl. So his thing, so the best team in football lost to a 9-7 wild card team.
Who was the last team? Who was the last team to go 18-0 going into the Super Bowl?
So you're telling me the greatest team of all time lost to a 9-7 team? But they're still in the biggest game of the season, yet they're still the greatest team of all time? Come on.
First of all, I didn't say they're the greatest team of all time. Nobody did. They said the 72 Dolphins were the greatest.
All right, so they're fourth on the list. They lost to a 9-7 team in the Super Bowl?
That team, the 2007 New England Patriots, went into the Super Bowl at 18-0. And lost the Super Bowl. They went through the season at 16-0.
Okay.
Even the 72 Dolphins did not go 16-0.
Right. 14-0. Right. 14-0.
Oh, they went 14-0. So they didn't go 16-0. So yes, the 2007 New England Patriots, as much as it pains me to say it, belong on this list of greatest teams of all time because they went to the Super Bowl at 18-0
and lost to a 9-7 team. There can't be a great team. You can't be a greatest top 10 team. You can be a great team.
No other team in the history of the NFL went into the Super Bowl at 18-0. Please look it up. I'll give you 5 minutes because I got to go take a leak. Let me know what other team went into the Super Bowl 18-0. Look that up. Let me know. I'll be right back.
None. I'm going to have to look it up. Nobody. And name me the last 16-0. And let me know the last team that lost the Super Bowl to a 9-7 team, and you want to tell me they're the greatest team.
Okay, but I'm asking you what team.
None. None. And how many teams went 18-0 and lost the Super Bowl? None. Oh, yeah, one.
Who
just
was the
one.
Last team to
18-0 and lost the Super Bowl.
Who was the last team to make it to the Super Bowl undefeated?
Okay, Jeff, it doesn't matter. You lost the last game of the season. You lost the last game of the season to a 9-17.
You went 18-0.
Doesn't matter. You lost the Super Bowl.
Tom,
every other team on this list. Every other team on this list. No, I'm not, Jeff. Listen to what you said. But you lost, Jeff, you lost the most important game of the season.
Doesn't matter.
You lost the most important game of the season. You lost the game to a 9-7 wild card team.
With everything you're saying, then why aren't you complaining about Joe Montana's picture?
Why would I care about Joe Montana? They won the Super Bowl.
Because that makes it look like he's the greatest player of all time.
Jeff, you're not even being rational at this point.
Well, because that's how silly you're on.
Jeff,
you're
by our
18-0.
It doesn't matter. You lost the Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter. You were still 18-0 getting into the Super Bowl.
But you lost it. So how could you be great if you lost the biggest game of
the season? Team,
but they shouldn't even be top four. They shouldn't be on this list.
Tom, they belong on the list.
They should not even be. They should not be on this list.
18-0 going into the Super Bowl
means nothing if you lost the Super Bowl. So a 9-7 to good. If you listen, folks, don't mind Jeff. He's completely shot tonight. I don't know what thinking about. You can't give me a team in a regular season and playoffs won 18-0, but lost the Super Bowl to a wild card team at 9-7 and be on a top 10 greatest team of all time list. Completely not. Can't be done. So, Jeff's got his opinion, and I love him for it. but this one, he can't win this battle with me. If you don't win the Super Bowl, you can't make a top 10 greatest team of list ever. Can't be done. So let's move on because we're not going to agree on this one. And I got to shake my head and try to figure out how to get around that one. But we got a couple more things. Glad you guys hung around. This is what the show's all about. We're having some fun arguing and disagreeing with each other, which we do from time to time. We don't always agree on these things. So we got a couple more topics. We'll get to that, and then we'll I got a good one I want to get to Jeff when he comes back about the Jets. I'm curious to see how he thinks this one's going to play out because we got some stuff going on. But again, remember, guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tommy on a Thursday night. Yankees just tied the game up 1-1. Two outs in the bottom of sixth, runner on third base, and Mike Carpenter, who needs to make up for a bonehead play in the top of the sixth inning, is at the plate versus Castillo. So we'll see how that plays out. So plenty of little more show left. We got a couple more topics, and we'll probably run it to that end and see where this takes us. But, make sure you come back on Thursday, two more Thursdays, and we'll be doing the big anniversary show. So make sure you stop in for that one. So we got lots to celebrate over the next couple of weeks. Hey, let me ask you this question about Zach Wilson. You know, I think it's a non-story. I think it's all bullshit, some of these things, you know, especially now with the social media and all that. But it does remind me a little of something. And I'm curious to think, as a Jet fan, you know, when Mark Sanchez came into the league, there were some questions about his ability and work ethic and all of that. And the big thing that struck for me was the very first couple of things, stories that came out about Mark Sanchez was about he was dating Eva Longoria. He was dating this one. He got caught sneaking to some girl's hotel, college dorm. You know, these are all the stories that were coming out. And to me, it kind of took a real big downturn for him in his career. Never really kind of fulfilled it. Well, Zach Wilson's got that same thing going on right now, Jeff. You know, he broke up with his girlfriend. The girlfriend, she's a homie hopper. She, you know, now she's dating his college roommate. She accused him of sleeping with the boy, with the mother's best friend. You know, he had a rough year, had a little bit at the end of the year, but his start to his career is kind of reminding me of Mark Sanchez's start. Does that concern you as a Jet fan? And do you think that this potentially has the chance to be a very big distraction for him and the team?
I don't think it's going to be a distraction for him and the team, honestly. I think what he needs to do is to play. I think they've got him enough pieces where it's a big thing this year. He's either going to do it or he's not. If he doesn't do it, I don't think that they could get much better talent to surround him to make his life easier. So that being said, if he doesn't improve immensely this year, I think it's more on him than on the Jets. But not for nothing, but if his girl, he broke up with his girlfriend and then she got pissed off. We all know that you know, women will say certain things to get back at people.
Sure.
And listen, I'm not saying that he was a great piece for the Jets last year. He wasn't.
No.
But you know what? Honestly, do I would give a fuck if he was banging his mother's friend? No, I don't.
No, nobody
cares. I think
can.
There's been too much emphasis put on his mother as it is.
Yes.
If I was Zach Wilson, I would have turned around and said, Ma, listen, no offense. You do what you want, but I'm on the New York Jets. You're bringing too much negative attention. I can't have this. People are going to be taking it out on me and all this other shit. Mm. His mother shouldn't be involved with half the stuff that is said and done. He just shouldn't be doing that, saying the things that are going on. I just don't believe in it. I don't think that his mother should be.
Well, I think he tried to pay her not to be on social media, and she didn't.
Whatever the case
didn't
was,
work.
His mother was very prominent as soon as he signed up
yes.
and got into the league. So now you have his mother's friends creeping into it.
Yeah.
You know, because of somebody else. So, like, you know, evidently there's a lot of bullshit behind-the-scenes stuff going on.
I agree.
In Zach Wilson's life. But, you know, at this point in time, there's a lot worse things happening than if he's banging his mother's friend or not.
No, I agree with all of that. My only question is it does remind me of the early part of Mark Sanchez's career.
Without a doubt. But here's the difference between the two, okay? The first 2 years Mark Sanchez played, he was in AFC championships games.
Correct.
He almost went to the Super Bowl
yeah.
in year two.
Yeah.
And if that game was another 5 minutes longer, the Jets are in the Super Bowl.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if they didn't have the bad first half against Pittsburgh, you know, the Jets and Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So I'm with you on that. But it does remind me, and Mark Sanchez played on much better teams. I mean, those early Jet teams were really good teams with Mawai and Mangold and all that whole crowd that he got to play with. But I just worry that Zach Wilson, you know, falls into that trap and goes the way of Mark Sanchez. And
a lot of things about Zach Wilson that worry me.
Yeah. Now the question becomes is, okay, you don't put much stock in the fact that the Jets are going to win more than 4 or 5 games this year. Have you changed your mind on that?
No, I don't see that.
Okay, so
I think they're going to do better than that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say the Jets are what, a 7-8 win team in your opinion this year?
7 wins. Yeah.
Okay, so in a tough division in a really tough conference, there's a lot of great teams. The whole AFC West is great. There's a couple of teams ahead of them in the East is potentially great teams. So it's a tough division, a really tough conference. Having said that, what do you consider him having that would make you be comfortable? Like, what statistical season does Zach Wilson has to have with a 7-win team that you would say, all right, I'm comfortable that Zach Wilson is going to be my quarterback the next 5 or 7 years? What are you looking for?
I would say over 3,000 yards. 28 touchdowns, 10 to 14 interceptions, you know,
yeah.
somewhere in that window.
Yeah, I think the 3,000 yards, I think it's light, because I think in today's day and age, you know, you're talking about 200 yards a game, in today's day and age is probably not a lot. But, again, I think it's an improvement over last year. I would agree with that. I think 28 touchdowns a lot.
Last year, but when they keep saying that, oh, he didn't throw the ball, or he didn't throw an interception the last 5 games. Yeah, but there was games where he was throwing for 81 yards. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for him to turn around and say, for him to come back in and throw for 3,000 yards, I hear you. It's a light number, without a doubt. But for him, it's definitely trending in the right direction. I think this year is more about trending in the right direction than putting up monster numbers. Is Zach Wilson ever going to be a 4,000-yard a season guy? No, I don't see it. If they were, I don't think they would have drafted the best running back in the draft in the second round, if you ask me. I think they would have went for an offensive lineman or something.
That's interesting. I'm not sure. I think I don't know enough of him. When I watched last year, was not good. When I watched on tape in his college, was only game tapes. I didn't see any of his games. I saw a lot of highlights. I think the guy's got some ability. I don't know if it's going to translate onto the field. I still have a lot of questions with the Jets. I still have questions about their offensive line. I think it could be better this year than it was last year, but it could be not as good as last year. So I think we'll see. I think it's a lot of pressure on him. I think he gets 3 years out of this no matter what happens. I think whether we were talking about that before, Frankie boy.
We got confirmation on one, Frank. I'm not liking it. Not liking it. And they're going to go under the name Pantera for the tour, too. How about that bullshit?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of the idea. But you know, listen, they're going to do it. And, I'm glad they got Zach to do it. I think Zach to me would have been the guy I would have picked to be in this. I still think they should let it rest, but you know, I think now, Jeff, this is going to be a big tour. I think people between Zach's name and the Pantera name, Charlie Benanti's got a following. I think this is going to be an arena tour, and whether you or a lot of the diehard Pantera people, Pantera fans, are going to buy into it. I think it's got its own legs now.
I will never buy into it. And I think that, like, once again, Zach Wilde is completely overrated. I was in a Black Label Society tribute band many years ago, and they used to play songs, and I used to figure them out as they were playing because they were that too simple.
Mm.
And at least the ones at the time, I don't know about their newer stuff, because their newer stuff, everything sounds the same.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree. I do agree with that.
For a band with a guy who looked like Zakk Wylde does, plays like Zakk Wylde did with Ozzy, you would expect Black Label Society to be a little bit heavier than what they do, and all they do is put out acoustic shit for the, like, a lot of acoustic shit, almost as much acoustic shit as electric shit.
Mm.
And it's just not the stuff that, like, I listen to them once in a while.
Yeah.
But that's when I get tired of listening to so much other stuff that I'll listen to it. And new Black Label Society? Nah. And Anthrax? There's no way. I don't give a fuck how good anybody says Charlie Benanti is. I'm sorry. Charlie Benanti does not have the groove that Vinnie Paul does. And you can't fake that.
Mm.
You can't fake that. Cannot be faked. You either have it or you don't. And Vinnie Paul had it. Charlie Benanti does not have it.
Yeah, I agree. But so let me ask you this question. Knowing what you know now. Okay. Hold on a second. Excluded it. Knowing you know now, okay, it's already said and done. Who would you have rather seen behind the kit? If you could pick one drummer to be in this, I know you're not a huge fan of this going on, but if you were going to say, all right, if you have to go do this, I would have rather you gotten so and so to be the drummer. Not that the guy maybe wanted to, but I'm just curious, who would you want to see in that spot?
Vinnie Paul.
I understand you want Vinnie Paul. Unfortunately,
I'm going to explain why. Because if you didn't get it done when Vinnie Paul was alive, you don't do it. You don't do it.
Jeff, I'm agreeing with you 100%. Don't get me wrong.
You don't do it. Because Vinnie Paul is the only one, okay, then you would have had 75% of Pantera going out on tour instead of 50%. When half of that 50%, Phil Anselmo cannot sing anymore. He just can't. He can't do it. Okay.
I got you.
So he's going to ruin it by his vocals. Dimebag. I played in Mouth for War. I played in War Nerve, and I played in Dimebag NYC. Okay. So I know how to play Pantera stuff. And the whole point of it is that it has a certain feel. And if you don't have that feel as you're playing it, it's just not going to sound right. It's just going to be a tribute thing. So if they went out and they said Pantera with Zakk Wylde and Charlie Benanti, that could be one thing. But what they should have done, if they wanted to do it right, they wanted to do it justice, and they wanted to put it to bed the way it should have been, they should have done it when Vinnie Paul was around, so they could have on a dime that way. There was plenty of time to get everything hashed out and do what you got to do and do it for dime, and then just laid it to rest. I just think at this point in time, Phil Anselmo is not even going to come close to the Pantera vocals. He's not going to come close. Charlie Benanti is not going to have the feel that a Vinnie Paul did. I don't think there's a drummer on earth right now. Maybe Dave Lombardo. Maybe Dave Lombardo. Maybe. That's